Princeton is Professor Robert George, author of the book Embryo. And here on set is Dr. Waleed Faris of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and author of the new book, The Confrontation, Winning the War Against Future Jihad. I want to go first to a question for you, Dr. Faris. It says, Dear Raymond, I'm a teenager from Tasmania in Australia. I'm wondering what McCain and Obama's policies on the war in Iraq are. I know that Obama wants to end the war, but I'm unsure of McCain's policies. Could you fill me in?
Well, I guess Obama wants to end the war and McCain wants to win the war. In that sense, obviously, Senator McCain would like to see the Iraqis being able to do what we are doing because of the consequences. If they don't, if we disable them, then we're going to be another generation, including a young teen generation of today, will have to fight wars in Iran and Iraq and Syria and beyond. Senator Obama, however, of course, he has a good intention, that is to end the war. The issue is with his advisors. How do they intend to end that war? By talking with Ahmadinejad, with Assad, or by basically empowering the Iraqis? That's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Professor George, this one's for you. For some sincere practicing Catholics, Ken writes from Kansas, this voting issue for the 2008 election is a difficult one. No doubt that pro-life is crucial, if not the crucial issue. For decades, a strong majority of voting Catholics moved Democratic. Some have crossed over in recent years to the Republican Party, largely because of the pro-life issue. For some Catholics, it seems the Republican Party is pro-life largely because of political expediency, and the Republican Party stands for little else on behalf of the poor, lower-income, and middle-income Americans. The next president will likely name several Supreme Court justices, and while this is important, does it not seem that if we somehow cannot change hearts and minds of people in this country to understand that abortion is murder, changing the law is not necessarily going to make anything great? Could you please comment?
Yes. Well, let me first say where I agree with the question. We need to be concerned about all human lives, the unborn certainly, but also the newly born, those who are poor, those who are handicapped and otherwise vulnerable, the frail elderly, people who are suffering from mental illness. Everyone deserves our care and protection. We must never carve out a group and exclude it from the protection of the law or from our basic care. Now, I think that sincerely, both parties wish to do something, some things, that will ameliorate poverty, that will give us economic growth from which all can prosper, that will promote social mobility. They have different agendas about how to do that. And reasonable pro-life people, reasonable Catholics, can reasonably disagree about whether they believe in socialized systems, for example, of delivering health care or education, or believe in more market-based systems, or some mix of the market and government. All those are reasonable possibilities. What has to be off the table, though, and here's where the rubber meets the road, is the idea that there are some members of the human community that we don't need to care for or protect or take responsibility, some that we can simply permit to be killed or treated as refuse. Look at the extremism of some of Senator Obama's stands and positions. He voted, for example, and has opposed the ban on partial birth abortions. Now, this all reasonable people should agree we should prohibit. Many people who regarded themselves as pro-choice, such as the late Daniel Patrick Moynihan, the senator from New York, agreed that we should draw the line at this heinous practice of having a baby three-quarters of the way extracted from the womb, the abortionist holding the baby's feet in his hands, and then jamming a pair of scissors into the skull, the base of the baby's skull, opening the scissors, inserting a suction mechanism, and suctioning out the baby's brain to kill him. We should all agree that that's a heinous practice. And we banned it legislatively in the Congress, and the Supreme Court has upheld it, but Senator Obama opposed the ban. He even opposed the law that would protect children who were born alive as a result of an unsuccessful abortion, and are then left to be treated as refuse, to die. One such baby at Christ Hospital in Chicago was discovered by a nurse thrown into a soiled linen closet. Now, we should all agree, and we all did agree. I mean, the Senate of the United States passed a bill prohibiting that practice 98-0. But in Illinois, in the Senate, Senator Obama voted against those protections for children who were born alive as a result of an unsuccessful abortion. So we've just gone off the edge here. We do have to change hearts and minds, that's true, but we also have to protect people by law. And we have done that. A partial birth abortion ban, the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, those command overwhelming majority support. Why is Senator Obama against them? There's no justification.
Professor George, I want to get one question in here for Dr. Waleed before we run out of time. But thank you for that. This is from Carol. She doesn't say where she's from. Why can't these countries take care of their own people and make sure that they have enough food and shelter and basic amenities? Why can't they use the various clean technology? If the people in these countries are happy, they wouldn't want to go to war. Are these governments artificially creating unrest and poverty so that they'll have more angry warriors? I think she's talking particularly about the Middle East.
Well, absolutely. She is absolutely right. The peoples, the civil societies of these nations, they really want to do what we have done over the past many years. They want to achieve the goals that we have achieved. And look again at South Africa. They wanted freedom, they got it. Latin America wanted freedom, they got it. Eastern Europe did it with their own, even the Russian people. Now we're dealing with a region where the regimes are still there and promoting the ideology of jihadism, obstructing the rights of women, not just in Afghanistan. Women cannot drive in Saudi Arabia. There are today 700,000 slaves in Sudan. There are now countries where minorities, including Christian minorities in Iraq, are being ethnic cleansed, in Syria have been oppressed. So. People want what we want, but the regimes are the problem, and we need to stand by the people for the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. There are several other questions here about Israel and our relationship with Israel, and might we see a potential explosion there of tensions and a threat to Israel as a nation?
Well, look, Israel and the Palestinians have been able, since the mid-90s, and at least over the past few years, to reach an agreement. I mean, Mahmoud Abbas, with all the criticism, and the Israelis, wants a two-state solution. Now, who's obstructing that? Not the Swedes. Not the people from Tasmania. Right. It's Hamas and Islamic Jihad who are funded by Iran and the Syrian regime. That's the problem.
Very good. We'll leave it there. Dr. Waleed Perez, author of the book The Confrontation, at bookstores everywhere, and Dr. Robert George, author of the book Embryo. Thank you both for joining me tonight. It's been a great discussion. Let's cut to the chase. You know, I have been disgusted by this presidential race. This is no way to elect the leader of the free world. According to the Founding Fathers, the prerequisite for a democratic republic to succeed is an informed populace. Read the Federalist Papers. Do you really believe that this populace, we Americans, are truly informed? Oh, I know we have more options than ever before, but increasingly, they cover the same garbage. Just look at this past week. A few days before a major election, we've been subjected to wall-to-wall media reports concerning Michelle Obama's dining habits and Sarah Palin's wardrobe bills. This passes as news. Mrs. Obama supposedly ordered room service, the New York Post reported, lobster and caviar, which turned out to be untrue, so they retracted it. Then stories filled the airwaves about the cost of Sarah Palin's wardrobe. What was she supposed to wear, pajamas? As it turns out, most of the clothes remained on Palin's plane. But the truth is, I really don't care. I don't give these items one moment of serious consideration, and neither should you. Yet for all the issues out there on the national and international scene, this is what my peers in the media choose to cover. They do so because it is easy, utterly trivial, and it keeps those ratings up. Anyone can converse and understand expensive dinners and clothing budgets. It's a bit harder to communicate the reasons for the economic downturn or to describe the international challenges, the very serious ones we face. The problem with this lightweight reportage is it keeps you dumb and gives you the illusion of being informed, but you're not informed. Time that should be spent unpacking the candidates' positions on taxation, foreign policy, the life issues, and Social Security is filled with talk of Saturday Night Live sketches and the candidates' perceived temperaments and the verbal gaffes of the vice presidential hopefuls. Take your pick. We are being entertained to death this election season. America's about to elect a president based solely on star quality and the tone of voice used in interviews. As a friend in the movie business asked me today, are we electing a president or casting one? This is utter nonsense. The fact is, few of us are competent or informed enough to cast a reasonable vote this season. Americans will soon elect a president based on random surface impressions with absolutely no understanding of the long-term consequences of electing this person to office. We are facing an economic slowdown of mammoth proportions and entering moral and ethical terrain that would make our forefathers shudder. This is a time for sober reflection, attention to positions beyond surface appearances, and prayer. In this very confusing time, the light of prayer might be just what the American voter needs most of all. And a bit of reason couldn't hurt either. Hamilton, Madison, and Jay, I think, would agree with me. Before we go, I want to invite